Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. We've been there for a few weeks. Hear the word of the Lord, Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Verse 5, then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Let's pray together. Lord, may your word come with power. May you open our hearts, all of us, to receive your word. May you grant each of us an ongoing repentance and a continual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Hopefully we've seen over the last few weeks a view of God's plan in a nutshell from these verses. We started on the first Sunday of Advent, Jesus, light for our darkness. And we talked about that the Lord brings a change in our spiritual condition, a change primarily from life, from death to life. And then we talked about Jesus, the light for our deliverance. And that's a change in our spiritual location. No longer living in darkness, but delivered out of it into his marvelous light. Last week we looked at Jesus, the light for the nations. And this was a change in our spiritual family. Now we are a part of something bigger than ourselves, bigger than just the nation of Israel. We're part of a fellowship, a worldwide church, a living temple, so to speak, the family of God, and its members are still coming home. See, Jesus' coming makes a difference. It's sad when you see there's folks that Jesus has not made any difference in their lives. For us, and I want to remind you, because sometimes it's easy for us to forget, that Jesus makes a difference, all the difference in the world. It's not just because we've attained some new Bible knowledge, but it's because we've come to know the love of a new person in our lives. His name is Jesus Christ. And when the gospel comes, it changes the daily fabric of our lives. We now have a new attitude in which to face the onslaught of trouble, of tribulation, of temptation. It brings us, as this Isaiah 60 verse 5 reminds us, an attitude of worship. It brings a heartfelt, real change in attitude brought about by what God has done for us and what he promises to complete in the future. Our daily, ordinary emotion is transformed by the previous, the present, and the future inflow of people into God's kingdom. This is something that affects us and changes us and causes us to react in a certain way, Isaiah tells us. You can see then, you know, after the inflow of people, verse 5, then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. See, this is a radiancy that Christians have, or we're supposed to have, we should have. It's a thrilling and exulting that we can engage in now. In fact, God calls us to engage in that now. It's the call to worship. Theologian E.J. Young describes it this way. The result of this great influx will be a wondrous and fearful rejoicing on Zion's part. The heart will throb and swell. Tremendous emotion will seize Zion as she sees the heathen coming to her in faith, her true sons and daughters. As Christians, it is okay to display our emotions, which are affected by the gospel and the inflow of the nations into the kingdom of God. Seeing this happen and grasping by faith and experiencing God's promises today and then hoping in them for the future, it brings about a completely new attitude of worship. We become radiant. We become a radiant people, radiant Christians who have received the very light of God. And then we become radiating Christians as this light, this new life, this promise of eternity with Him radiates from us. We reflect that light. And this is being full of light regardless of our circumstances. There's this wonderful and fearful rejoicing in God. As I said before, a tremendous expression of emotion that's connected to the knowledge of what God has done. Do you remember the first time you were ever in love? Or you ever liked somebody? You fell for somebody? Maybe it was in high school. Maybe it was before. Maybe you had a crush on someone during, you know, grammar school or something. But you saw that person, and your heart got excited. It got caught up in it. And you may have said, he or she is my heartthrob. See, the love and joy that is in Christ leads us to having a heartthrob, an enlarged heart. Grief and sorrow with no hope will cause the heart to contract. And I do want to quote the eminent theologian this morning, Dr. Seuss. He observed this happening in the Grinch. And somebody walked in with a Grinch tie. Was it Matt? Did you have that? He had the Grinch tie this morning. I said, I'm quoting Dr. Seuss in the sermon this morning. And he tells us that, well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. Now, I don't know Dr. Seuss. I don't know what his intentions were. And maybe you do. But I do know that he was trying to entertain kids with stories and pictures and unforgettable scenes. But whether he knew it or not, there's some gospel in there. That when the good news comes, our hearts are enlarged. They are made alive. They throb. Has your heart grown coming to Christ? See, this thrilling in the Lord and exulting in His gospel is an uncontainable expression of worship. Sometimes it's fear and trembling, but mixed with great joy and great love. And I just want to remind you, we Presbyterians often, maybe in the old days, I haven't heard it in a long time, but we were called the frozen chosen. Come in, you sit down in the worship service, and you don't move. You never think about lifting your hands or clap, and you just have this stoic expression. You know, you understand the gospel in your thoughts and your heart, and there's not saying you don't. But it's okay to thrill and exult in our God, who has done much more than we could ever imagine or even conceive of. I believe that this is exactly what God is looking for. He's looking for someone who will dare to speak up and worship and thrill and exult in the gospel and the inflow of people from all over the world into His kingdom. Jesus said this in John 4. He said, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And I think if you take Isaiah's words and apply them to John 4, that is a thrilling and an exulting and a radiant person that's been affected by the gospel. Listen to these verses. These are all one verses. There's four of them, all from the book of Psalms. And they describe the work of God and his people as he reveals himself as the very light, the light that Lee talked in during his prayer. And he becomes the light of our living, the object of our worship. Hear these Psalms. Psalm 78:14. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud and all the night with a fiery light. The presence of God in the midst of his people shining forth. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Divine guidance, divine presence, daily instruction on how to conduct our lives. Psalm 119:130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Just the knowledge and wisdom for decision making. And then one more, Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. You know, Jesus doesn't always change our circumstances. We pray that he does so often, don't we? But he doesn't always do that. He gives us new life. He gives us this new attitude. He makes us radiant people. He gives us a new perspective in the kingdom of God to face all of the challenges of life with. But we end up having the same struggles as our friends that are not believers. Sometimes it doesn't seem to matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. When businesses fail, when tragedies happen, when COVID visits, when marriages hit the rocks, when children rebel and walk away from the faith, when cancer comes, and you just name it and fill in the blank. We are not immune to any of those things. Jesus, our light, doesn't always deliver us from these things in our timetable, but he will deliver us through them. And sometimes he delivers us into his presence, as Chum Craighead this week passed away and is now in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Through a trial and tribulation, you know, there's some theology that says you just confess the right things and you will immediately move out of that tribulation into great joy. Well, no. Sometimes we pass through tribulation and trial and temptation into his very presence for all eternity. And if we are his while all this is going on, the world will see a difference. The radiant lives of his people. So I did a little survey of the radiant faces of God's people, the ones that are spoken of specifically. I just want to read a couple of verses in the life of Moses and how being in God's presence and being, yes, he had a special call, absolutely. We don't all have that call, but we have the call to love God the way Moses did. And it says in Exodus 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, and as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. It may not happen like that. We may not walk into a room and our face is like a spotlight. But I think the promise of God is that when we're with him and trusting in him and being in his presence and in his word and in his prayer, it makes a difference to where we shine forth the light of God through our lives. Stephen, the deacon in the New Testament, who went through that kangaroo court before the Sanhedrin and was ended up executed and stoned to death. After he testified to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, it says in Acts 6:15, "And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Now, it doesn't tell us specifically that his face was radiating, but I think the angels do. Every time we see the angels, they were clothed in power and light, and, you know, people fell down to worship them and were fearful of them. And here's Stephen with the face of an angel. And it's not just these big names in Scripture, Moses and Stephen. It speaks generally about God's people. God's people are radiant because of God's blessing. One of the familiar benedictions that we use often from Numbers 6, it said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." How can that not affect us? How can that not make us radiant with the life and the light of God? Well, we're also radiant by God's goodness, just his goodness to us. Jeremiah says this in 31:12, "They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of God." Recall how good God is, and then how good he has been to you. And see if you're not radiant and caught up with joy and your heart enlarges with praise and worship. And as I'm prepared this, I was convicted, just maybe as you are, that I want that more. I want to be in his presence. I want to be the radiant Christian that radiates the life of God from my very being, all tied to him. Because God's people are radiant for God's glory. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And then God's people, we are radiant because of God's power, not our own. Nothing that is ours. It's just what he has given to us. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 4. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And then God's people are radiant to be his witnesses. And we see this in Revelation 1 and Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." And then there is Jesus, the radiant one whom we worship. And I just wanted to read what the Apostle John experienced when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the island of Patmos in exile. Revelation 1, 14 through 16. He writes, "The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Some questions for us to ask ourselves. And these are from Isaiah 60, verse 5, which says, "Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. So ask yourself this question. Have I seen the kingdom of God? Am I aware of it? Have I noticed it? Being aware and having knowledge of God's rule, His sovereign rule over everything, has that been made aware to me by God's revelation through His Word? And have I become radiant because of it? Another question. Does my heart thrill and exult in the good news of Jesus Christ, especially when I think about the inflow of the nations into the kingdom of God? Is that something that brings us great joy and leads us to worship God, who so loved the world that He gave us Jesus? Another question. Have I become a follower of Jesus Christ simply by believing in Him? His sinless life, the virgin birth, of course, His substitutionary death on the cross, His resurrection on the third day, trusting His promise to forgive us our sins and to raise us on the final day to eternal life. Your answers to those questions are the most important answers in your life. They will define whether you are a radiant and exulting Christian who has had his or her heart enlarged before the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the prophet Isaiah, who 750 years before the coming of Christ knew these things. Yes, he spoke to the nation of Israel and what it would be like after the exile and returning to the promised land after Babylon. But he also began to write for us so we could have the good news of the gospel clarified through the prophetic word. Would you enlarge our hearts, Lord? Would the coming of the Messiah and the inflow of the nations, our deliverance from darkness, the gift we've received of new life, may these make us worshipers of God. For that's what you're looking for. Those who will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name, amen.